ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashanti Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Tomorrow is Guru Purnima 2018 and you are waiting for the beautiful celebration of this lovely festival. This festival, in fact, in a manner of sorts, marks the beginning of the festival calendar in Prashanti Nilayam, because the new boys who have joined the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning will witness a festival of this nature, a first mega festival of Prashanti Nilayam, Guru Purniman. Often we have seen how Bhagwan always made this occasion very memorable by announcing landmark facets of his divine mission during this festival. In fact, even this year you have the first ever Go Green conference happening in Prashanti Nilayam. So Guru Purnima has always been one of those stellar celebrations in Prashanti Nilayam, and this is an occasion to really dedicate our lives and ask ourselves, how good a disciple have we been? How good a devotee have we been? The Lord has been guiding us. The Lord has been loving us like no one else can. The Lord has been protecting us like we can never imagine. But how good a disciple have we been? This is a beautiful moment to reflect and redirect our lives so that we match up to the Lord's expectations. In fact, commemorating this occasion, we have on Radio Sai a new episode of Melodic Stories. I don't know if you have heard the previous episode of Melodic Stories. These are basically instrumental Sai bhajans interlaced with stirring stories. And for this month, we have a story adoring Bhagwan as the Sadguru, taking a slice from the life of Sri Rama Brahmam. We have tried to remind ourselves, what is unconditional love? What is unconditional surrender? Let's listen to this melodic story, part 2.
In the summer of 1964, Bhagwan inaugurated his ashram in Bengaluru and picked Mr. Rama Brahmam, an extremely committed devotee, to manage its affairs. Many years later, when the marriage of Rama Brahmam's granddaughter was fixed, he offered the wedding invitation to Bhagwan, but did not pray for permission to travel to Guntur for the function, even though he loved the grandchild. However, Swami himself said, "You can go and attend the wedding." It was still a fortnight away. 15 days passed, but Swami did not talk about it again. It would take at least 2 days for Rama Brahmam to reach Guntur. Since Swami was silent, Rama Brahmam too kept quiet. On the day of the marriage, Swami suddenly looked at Rama Brahmam and said, "Hey Rama Brahmam, you didn't go for the marriage?" With utter humility, he replied, "Swami, I thought it is not your will that I travel. Else, you would have definitely asked me to go." Bhagwan was so pleased that he immediately caressed his cheek and with great love patted his shoulder and said, "Good boy." Mr. Rama Brahmam was actually 75 years old then. Swami then looked at all the people around and said, "This is the sign of a true devotee. When the master commands, a true devotee just obeys. does not analyze with his limited mind. When an elderly devotee had a swollen and painful leg, Swami said, "No need to go to a doctor. Apply lukewarm starch water of rice on your leg." He did that and was healed instantly. When another person tried the same remedy, his condition actually worsened. In the Shirdi Avatar, when a devotee was suffering from diarrhea, Baba told him to eat groundnuts, which actually would aggravate the illness. But he was cured. What works is not the prescription, but the Guru's instruction. The path to our deliverance is implicit obedience. It can wipe out mountains of karma. This is the best aradhana we can make to our Sadguru, Sri Satya Sai.
So that is an episode from the exalted life of Sri Rama Brahmam. In fact, if you have been following this series, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, in the last few episodes, we had for 15 weeks the story of Mrs. Rama Brahmam, Mrs. Ratanlal. And with the encouraging response that we received to this series with prayers to Bhagwan, in the last episode, we started the life of another very, very fantastic, phenomenal servitor of the Lord, Mr. B.V. Ramana Rao. In the last episode, I shared with you how Swami, through him, taught us how an avatar views the world and how we are often so limited in our understanding of how the avatar views the world. And then I started his story of how he came to Bhagwan, his first darshan in 1966 in the house of Burgula Ramkrishna Rao sir, and how at that point in time he just wanted to leave the place, but Bhagwan arranged it in such a manner that he had a glimpse of the Lord. And then how he saw that his friend Mr. Desikachari, for some strange reason, has undergone a major transformation. He was no more smoking, drinking or playing cards. He didn't want to enjoy life the way they were enjoying for so many years, and how he goaded him and took him to Prashantinilayam and his first darshan of the Lord, and the interviews that he did informally with the people who have had interaction with Bhagwan, and how he was uncovering, discovering who Bhagwan is, and how that was slowly working on his mind. So I told you how when he met Dr. Suri Bhagwantam, who was the scientific advisor to the Ministry of Defense, and how he told Mr. Raman Rao that in my effort to understand Bhagwan, I have closed my book of science. Sitting at Bhagwan's feet, I am learning the alphabet of spiritualism, of spirituality, which transcends the laws of physical sciences. Bhagwan is a transcendental phenomenon. So all these had impact on Mr. Raman Rao, because who always was not so much for all these rituals. He would always keep himself away from anything to do with religion and spirituality. And here Dr. Bhagwantam, someone whom he respected, said, "Don't confuse religion with spirituality. Religion promotes faith in God with rituals, but spirituality is the highest form of science which explains the relationship between the creator and the creation." This really set him thinking, and now he became more open-minded towards what Bhagwan was offering him during that first darshan that he was having in Prashantinilayam. In fact, listening to all these things and absorbing what people were saying who had interviews with Bhagwan, every day he would wait, and so on the first day, after the people who were inside the interview room came out, he spoke to a lot of them, and everyone was happy, everyone was actually so relieved. Everyone was saying that Bhagwan is only talking about serving others. He's asking us to be good. So all these made him think. And now, after listening to Dr. Bhagwantam, Mr. Raman Rao too thought, "Oh, how I wish he looks at me," because Swami was just avoiding them, both of them. And now he had a slight feeling that it would be nice if actually such a man, you know, whom so many people revere, and he's inspiring so many to walk on the right path, it would be nice if he looks also at me. But Swami was not giving any attention at that point in time to him or to his friend Desikachari. So this is how the first day went. And the second day, he saw that there were 20 odd people who had gone again to the interview room. And when they came out, he started now talking to each one of them. In fact, what would happen is, once Bhagwan takes people inside the interview room, many people would go out and have their breakfast. So that is what Mr. Raman Rao also wanted to do. But his friend, you know, who was pining for Bhagwan's darshan's person and waiting a moment, he said, "I'm not going to go anywhere." So he allowed the Desikachari to be in the darshan ground, and he went to talk to the people who had interview. So by the time he finished breakfast, this first batch of interview was over, and he now started talking to these people. One of them was from the Krishna district, another was from Bangalore, and two others were from North India. And he saw that all the four were well-to-do people. The one from Krishna district was actually very reluctant to disclose details of what Swami had told him, but he only said Bhagwan assured him and told him that he will look after him in every way. And he also mentioned to him that Swami told him that he had seen this person come to Prashantinilayam twice before. He thought that Bhagwan does not know him, but that was one moment where he realized that everything is known to Bhagwan. And then he spoke to another businessman from Uttar Pradesh, the second person. So this person said that while touring the south, he had heard about Bhagwan and that is how he came to see him. And Swami materialized a gold ring for him, though he already had two rings on his fingers. So he showed all the rings to Mr. Raman Rao, and Mr. Raman Rao was surprised and in awe to see all the materializations that Bhagwan was making. He had heard about it. So here was a gold ring that Swami had created. And then he spoke to another North Indian. But that person was not in a mood to speak, because apparently Swami had scolded him for something and he was feeling very sad and he was mourning. But at the same time, Swami consoled him later and gave him vibhuti, creating out of thin air. And then he met a man from Bangalore, the fourth person. He showed how Bhagwan had created a japamala, a rosary for him. And Swami told this person from Bangalore to stay in Puttaparthi for next 4 days. And Swami said, your twin son, your son who has stolen money from home and run away, he is going to come to Prashantinilayam. So you wait here. Once he comes, I will call both of you for another interview. So this is what different people told him. He was collecting all these stories who were emerging from the interview room. And then he saw that there was another person, and this person, he looked very poor. He had this soiled dhoti and in a torn vest, and you know, there was a towel on his shoulder, and he had a black string around his neck, 4 day unshaven beard, and there was a pungent odor also from his body. Definitely he came from a very weaker section of society, and this person was only, you know, is lamenting and saying that, will Baba call me again? Will Baba call me again? So Mr. Raman Rao went and talked to him and asked him what happened, and the person started saying that he is actually someone who ekes his livelihood by doing massage. He works as a masseur in some hotels in Vijayawada. And then he asked him, okay, what happened? Why are you here? And he said that he was making preparations for his daughter's marriage. And a fortnight before the marriage, there was a burglary in his house. 1200 rupees cash was stolen. Not only that, a silk sari for the bride, silk clothes for the bridegroom, and a sacred Mangalsutra which he had made in gold, spending so much money, which was a huge amount of money for him. Everything was stolen. 12,000 rupees, silk dhoti, silk sari, and the Mangalsutra. So he didn't know what to do. He was completely crestfallen. So Mr. Raman Rao said, then why have you come here? You should have gone to the police. He said, I reported to the police, but you know, nothing happens. And then the man said, you know, I remember that 2 years ago, Baba had come to Rajahmundry and I had kept a photo of Baba with me since then. And you know, so many people say that he can help us, you know, he will protect us. So I have started worshipping him. And now when I faced with this tragedy, you know, who will help me? I thought only Baba can help me. And that is the reason why I have come to Puttaparthi. And, you know, with moist eyes and as almost crying, this person narrated his story. So Mr. Raman Rao said, you went inside the interview room. Did you not tell Baba your entire problem? And the man said, actually what happened was, once I went inside, I just broke down. And I just was crying and I fell at Baba's feet. My voice choked. I just could not say anything. I was just there crying. When I looked at Baba, no words came out of my mouth. And after some time, Swami opened the interview room door and Swami asked me to stay outside. So I lost the chance to actually tell anything to Baba. So when Mr. Raman Rao heard this, you know, he felt very sorry for that man. You know, there was tears trickling down that person's face, and he was this dirty towel he had, and you know, someone who was so pathetic. And Mr. Raman Rao thought, what is this Baba? He gives a gold ring to this affluent businessman from the north who has actually no need of it because he already has two gold rings already on his fingers. But this man who has lost gold Mangal Sutra, who has lost so much cash, this is the man who needs help. And Baba just asked him to go out of the interview room. This is highly unfair. He is being very partial towards the rich. So these were the thoughts that were going on in Mr. Raman Rao's mind. And by this time, the second batch of interviews also got over. And his friend came outside, and then Mr. Raman Rao told him, "See, this is the fate of this poor man from Odisha. I don't know why Baba did not bless him. Actually, I'm very upset that Baba asked him to go out of the interview room." But his friend said that we never know. Baba knows everything. In any case, you know, if we want to do something for our satisfaction, you know, let us give him something. Let us see what we can do. So he pulled out his purse and, you know, he counted 50 rupees and he said, "No, I'm going to give this to this person." So when his friend gave 50 rupees, Mr. Raman Rao also said, "Fine, I will also add my 50 rupees. So they were just putting together that amount and were about to give to this person from Odisha. Just then, Professor Kasturi, he came out of the interview room and he was calling out, "Jagannath, Jagannath, who is Jagannath, who is Jagannath, who is Jagannath," who just came out of the interview room. So this man went forward. And so once Professor Kasturi checked that he was really Jagannath, he called one student who had a tray in his hand. And he gave that tray to Jagannath, to this person, and said, "This is a prasadam that Swami has given you. You please go home at once and perform the marriage of your daughter. Your family members are all worried about your whereabouts and your safety. You did not tell any of them that you are coming here. So they are all very concerned. Your daughter is concerned. So please take this prasadam from Swami and go back home happily and perform the marriage of your daughter." And this person, this old man, was in tears. Now tears of joy were streaking down his cheeks, because on that tray was a silk sari, a silk dhoti, and there was also an envelope. And when he took that envelope and he started counting money, you know, there were hundreds of rupees there inside that envelope. And as he counted, it was not just currency notes. Inside the envelope, there was also a golden shining something. And when he took that out, it was a golden Mangal Sutra. So everything that he had lost was back and more. In fact, there was more money than what he had lost. And the old man was just in tears. He spread out his towel. He put everything there. He just knelt in the direction of the mandir there. He did his Ashtanga Pranam. And, you know, he was just shouting, "Sai Baba ki jai, Sai Baba ki jai." And, you know, with that euphoric mood, he just left the ashram. You know, he was in a different world. Dina Bandhu Sainatha Karuna Sindhu Jagannatha.
Dina Bandhu Sainatha Karuna Sindhu Jagannatha. Dina Bandhu Sainatha Karuna Sindhu Jagannatha.
Jagannatha.
ಶಿರಡಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ, ಹೇ ಪರ್ತಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ, ಹೇ ಸಾರಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ. ಬಂಧು ಸಾಯಿನಾಥ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ,
so that is the story of how Bhagwan blessed this person by name Jagannath, who came from the land of Jagannath. In fact, as this episode was unfolding in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir, there was another North Indian devotee who was watching all this. And you know, when he saw Professor Kasturi speak to this person, and Professor Kasturi was dressed in whites, and you know, he had this properly dressed, properly pressed kurta and dhoti. So he went up to Professor Kasturi and asked, "Are you Baba's secretary?" And Professor Kasturi said, "I am Baba's chaprasi. Chaprasi means peon. I am Baba's peon." That is how the people who have served Bhagwan at close quarters were always aware and alert that the one they are living with is someone who is there only to purify them. He is the Sadguru who is constantly only seeing how much of your ego you have annihilated, how much of your desires you have curtailed, how much more discipline have you brought into your life. So even though Professor Kasturi was the editor of Sanatan Sarthi and he was the biographer of Bhagwan's life, all he said was, "I am Baba's chaprasi, I am Baba's peon." So Mr. Raman Rao watched all this, you know, he had that doubt that Baba is partial, and he got this fantastic scene unfolding right in front of his eyes. And now, you know, he was thinking that it would be nice that, you know, Baba looks at me. Now that desire came that Baba also perhaps should talk to me, but there was no indication from Swami of noticing them, talking to them, showing any interest in them. So that is how the second day in Prashanti went for Mr. Raman Rao. And that night also he slept in the open in front of the mandir. His friend went and slept in the Veda Pathshala. In those days, you know, you had this little institution where Swami was training boys on Sanskrit and Vedic hymns. And there was a little compound there, so he went and slept there because it was very cold and there was fog. At 11 in the night, suddenly Mr. Raman Rao woke up because he had this splitting headache. He opened the suitcase to see if he has brought any medicines, you know, those household remedies. He was actually the drug controller of Andhra Pradesh. So he always had all the normal medications, you know, for diabetes, for blood pressure, indigestion, constipation. But for some reason, during that trip, he had not brought a tablet of aspirin or paracetamol, anything that will give immediate relief from pain, he had not brought. And now, 15 minutes into this headache, and he was just getting mad. It was too much to bear, and you know, he didn't know where to go in the middle of the night for any tablet, any medicine which will cure him. So he thought, okay, let me just go for a walk. So he started walking in the cool breeze of the ashram, but that did not help. He took a wet handkerchief and he put it on his forehead, but that also was of no avail. The headache was only increasing. And then he saw there was a tourist bus from Kerala that arrived, and there were about 60 to 70 people who got down from that bus, and you know, they started making preparations to sleep in the mandir. In those days, you didn't have any accommodation, 60, so everyone was sleeping on the sands in the mandir. So the same place where you sat for darshan was also the place where you stayed, because you're staying under trees. And so he saw that all these people, they have come from a long journey, and he thought, you know, probably someone must be having some painkiller tablets, you know. So he went to there, and you know, because they were all people from Kerala, nobody was speaking English, so he didn't know how to communicate. And now he was in his night dhoti and, you know, with a shirt and a wet cloth on his forehead, and he stretched out his hand, you know, trying to tell them that, you know, he needs something. So those people thought that perhaps he wants something, this man is in need of money or something. So somebody came and dropped some money, some coins on his hand, and he said, no, he was trying to tell them, no, I'm having this headache, do you have any medicine? So another person took out a bottle from his bag, and you know, it was some oil. And when Raman Rao sir saw that, it was some pungent oil, and you know, he said, no, I don't want that, you know. He said, do you have any tablet, anything that I can take which will give some relief? And so those people said, you know, we don't have any tablets, but you know what, we can massage your head. And you know, coming from Kerala, the land of all these Ayurvedic oils, so someone said, you know, don't worry, we will help you, we'll put this oil properly and you know, give a slight massage. And Raman Rao said, no, please don't touch my head. It is like his head was really so painful that he thought, you know, anyone touching it would really make it only worse. So he just left that place and he didn't know what to do. His headache was taking the life out of him. And in that state of helplessness, you know, he was seeing what to do. He went back to his bed. He was sitting there. And then he saw that all these people, they were going to Ganesha. In those days, there was this big circle in the darshan grounds, and in front of that circle was a beautiful statue of Lord Ganesha. And so he saw all these people from Kerala, they were going and taking a round around the Ganesha, and they were sitting there and the first offering pranams to Ganesha, taking Ganesha's blessings. So Mr. Raman Rao thought that maybe I should do this, you know, maybe Ganesha can help me, you know. He thought, because at that point in time, he was in such a desperate situation, he wanted some solution, some help. So he saw that all these people from Kerala, even after offering pranams to Lord Ganesha, they were smearing on their forehead the ashes of the burnt incense sticks lying on the ground, you know, as if that was vibhuti. So he thought, you know, maybe let me do the same. So he went there to Ganesha, and then he waited for all these people from Kerala to go, and then he stood in front of Ganesha and he looked at Baba's room from there, Bhagwan's room, and then he fervently prayed, you know, in the silence of his heart he prayed. He said, Baba, you know, my friend Desikachari, who is one of your devotees, he brought me here. If I was in Hyderabad, you know, I would not be suffering like this from such a terrible headache. I have all the medicines, you know. I came to Puttaparthi and I am going through such a difficult time. I have heard that you have many miraculous powers, but you know, this is a test. You know, I am now bowing down in front of you and I am putting this ash of this incense sticks on my forehead. If my headache is cured, you are God. Else, you are a fraud. So this is what he says, and you know, he offers pranams on the ground, takes that little ash, puts it on his head, and he goes back to his bed to rest. Around 4 in the morning, a student from the Veda Pathshala just wakes him up, and he says, wake up, it's time for Omkaram, for Suprabhatam. So with a little irritation, you know, he gets up reluctantly, he finishes his morning ablutions, and then he goes to sit for the darshan. So Swami comes and, you know, Swami selected two batches that day for interview, one after another. But both the times when Bhagwan came out, Swami did not look at them, Swami did not talk to them. And at that point in time, you know, Mr. Ramanda knew that Swami is not interested in them at all, and his friend was feeling very bad. In fact, he was feeling very bad for his friend because he thought, you know, because of him, because of the company of Mr. Raman Rao, Mr. Desikachari was not having darshan. So all that feeling was making him feel very miserable. So in any case, you know, they started packing up the luggage because they had come for 2-3 days. It was already 10:30. And, you know, his friend was saying that, don't worry, you know, we will come back again after 10 days. You know, these are all tests of Baba. He's testing our faith and devotion. But Mr. Raman Rao, you know, at that point in time, didn't want to say anything because, you know, he had gone through a lot. And so he said, okay, fine. Suddenly they saw that one Mr. Narayan Rao, who was an IAS officer, who was the collector of Anandpur then, and he was a very close friend of both of them, he was coming out of the interview room and his pocket was full of vibhuti packets given by Bhagwan. And so he was very surprised to see both Raman Rao and Desikachari, and he said that he comes to Puttaparthi once every month to have Bhagwan's darshan. And he said that he is going back now. And so when he asked, how are you going, where are you going? So they said that they are going by bus to Hyderabad. He said, you know, don't go by bus. You know what? I am going now to Bukkapatnam. I will drop you at Anandpur in my car. So you can go in my car. And from Anandpur, you go by train. It will be a comfortable journey. So both Desikachari and Raman Rao thought, that's an interesting idea. Definitely a good idea. And Mr. Narayan Rao said, you just give me 1 hour. I have little work to finish. After that, we will start and I will drop you in Anandpur. So Desikachari and Raman Rao, they loaded their luggage into Narayan Rao's car and they just started, and they just have gone a few feet. Suddenly a student from the Pathshala comes running and he stops the car and he says, Swami is calling, Swami is calling. So Mr. Narayan Rao thought, definitely Swami must be calling him because he comes very frequently. But the student said, no, Swami is calling Mr. Desikachari and the friend wearing dark glasses. And Raman Rao, sir, was the one who used to wear those dark glasses. And that's all. Desikachari pulled Raman Rao, sir, and they ran to Bhagwan's room. And they went upstairs straight to Bhagwan's room. And there was a cot in the shape of a coiled serpent with a five-headed hood, you know. So that is where Bhagwan was sitting. Apparently, that is the only furniture in Bhagwan's room where Swami used to sit, write, read, sleep, everything. So they saw, went there, and Bhagwan was sitting there, and Swami greeted them with a smile, asked both of them to come inside, sit down. And so Desikachari took, you know, Raman Rao, sir, with his hand, and so they went and first offered pranams to Bhagwan. And as soon as they went, you know, Swami asked Raman Rao, looking at him, hey, Rowdy, how is your headache? Rowdy means, you know, indisciplined fellow. How is your headache? And actually, Mr. Raman Rao blinked, you know, because you know, what is Swami talking about, you know? And Mr. Desikachari said, what headache, Swami? And Swami again looked at the blank face of his friend's blank face, and Swami said, ask your friend, he knows. And so Swami was now looking, smiling and, you know, staring at him silently. And then Swami told Raman Rao, hey, Rowdy, speak up. Has your last night's headache gone? That is when Raman Rao recollected that, yeah, he had that excruciating headache last night, you know, because after visiting Ganesha, the headache had just disappeared in a manner that he had completely no memory of it. And now suddenly, so when Swami was over the headache, he actually didn't even remember. Swami had to repeat it 2-3 times. Then it occurred to him. He said, oh my God, yes, Swami. And he said, I instantaneously went to sleep after that, you know, after I visited Ganesha. And I completely forgot about it. And he said, yes, my headache is gone, sir. You know, he addressed Swami as sir because first time he was having this overwhelming experience. And then Swami started telling Desikachari that what had happened last night, and his friend to Swami, he did not tell me anything about it. Swami said, what will he tell you? He himself has forgotten. He fought with his headache for more than an hour, like Gajendra, you know, like the mythical tale of Gajendra struggling. And then Swami looked at Mr. Raman Rao with a very sweet smile, and Raman Ravana was so overwhelmed, he touched Bhagwan's feet with much reverence and, you know, with utter astonishment about what had happened. And then, you know, his friend started explaining to Swami, "Swami, this is the first time he has come to Prashantinilayam," and all that. And Swami said, "No, this is not the first time, this is the second time." Swami said, "He has already seen me at Hyderabad at Burgla Ramakrishna Rao's house." And Swami looked at Raman Rao sir and said, Didn't you see me there?" And Raman Rao sir was dumbfounded, because, you know, that was just, he was going on the road and he had just come into that compound. There were so many people. He has no clue about Bhagwan, but he said, "Oh my God, really? He knows that I was there for that darshan?" And then Swami folded the right sleeve of his kurta and he waved his hand in circles, you know, 4 or 5 times, and he said, "Take this prasadam." So both of them, they held out their hands, and, you know, so he had seen Swami creating vibhuti for devotees, you know, 2-3 times. But this was the time when he was watching at very close quarters, and Swami created that vibhuti. Swami patted the sikachari on his cheek, and as Swami was materializing prasadam, you know, Raman Rao sir was watching intently, and then Swami gave it to them and said, "Go on, eat it." And so out of Bhagwan's fingers, you know, fell a spoonful of this wheat-colored granular powder. And so when they put it in their mouth, it was deliciously sweet, you know, and it melted on their tongues. And Swami asked, "How is it?" And the Sigachari said, "Swami, it is wonderful. I have never tasted anything like this. It is like a rare delicacy." And then Swami looked at the Sikachari again and said, "Your companion does not like vibhuti. I have created something which he will eat, because he is a fake Brahmin. You know, he does not even wear the sacred thread. You know, I have told you how he didn't believe in rituals and all this. So I said, he is a fake Brahmin. He does not even wear a sacred thread. If I create vibhuti, I don't know if he will eat. That's why I created something which he will like to eat. How can I expect this person to apply vibhuti on his forehead and eat the vibhuti?" And so then Swami said that, and he patted the cheek of Raman Rao sir, and Swami said, "I just said for fun, don't feel bad." So, you know, Swami was building that connect with Raman Rao sir, and how Raman Rao sir was completely zapped. He was in awe. Then Swami told Desikachari, "Come on, Desikachari, ask something. You are fond of spiritual subject. Ask any spiritual question." And so he said, "Swami, you say that a man is supposed to pay for his deeds, but can't he escape his retribution through God's grace?" And Swami said, he started answering and said, "Nothing is impossible for a man who has acquired God's grace." So Bhagwan started explaining on this, but Mr. Raman Rao was so lost in just the sweetness of Bhagwan's voice. He was so enchanted with the recapitulation of everything that had happened in that morning. You know, he was telling, "Oh my God, this person knows that I was there in Dr. Burgla Ramakrishna Rao's house when there were thousands there. He knows that I had this headache. He knows that I had challenged the Lord. He knows that, you know, there were this Kerala people who came at 11 o'clock. He knows that this Narayan Rao was leaving now. He knows that I don't like vibhuti. He knows that I don't like rituals. And just when we were about to leave, the split second someone comes and calls us." He says, "Oh my God, this man really knows everything. His eyes are watching our every movement, our every thought." So he felt, "Oh my God." So all this was just going on in his mind. He was not listening to what Bhagwan was saying, the answer that Bhagwan was giving to the Sikachari's question. And then Swami asked, at the end of that explanation, Swami said, "Have you understood?" And Desikachari said, "Swami, no one has explained like this before to me." And he fell at Bhagwan's feet. And then Swami turned to Mr. Raman Rao, and Swami patted him on his shoulder, and Swami said, "You ask something. You're not asking anything. You're only constantly thinking. You're drowned in your thoughts. You're not speaking anything. Come on, you also ask some question." So then Raman Rao sir picked up some courage, and, you know, he cleared his throat, and he said, "Swami, is a man's future determined by his past deeds?" And Swami said, "Yes." Then he said, "If that is true, Swami, then why does not God grant man the knowledge of his earlier birth?" Then Swami said, "God knows the limits of the needs of man. He has given man a wonderful body, 5 sense organs, both functional and perceptual organs. He has given man a mind and an intellect. If one utilizes all of these properly, there is no truth that man cannot cognize. There is no divine power he cannot acquire. in the present life, when man is losing his peace of mind by binding himself with desires, attachments, love and hatred towards his existing positions and relationships, Swami said, will he not be subjected to greater stress on account of likes and dislikes beyond his capability to manage if he also comes to know of his past? Because already with whatever he knows, he is struggling. If he knows lot more things about his past, he'll struggle even more. So Swami said, therefore, oblivion of one's past is God's boon to man. It's the best thing to happen to man. And then Bhagwan started to give an example and said, King Janaka, who was an accomplished spiritual jnani, you know, he was a venerable, he had his master, a sage, Yajnavalka, as his guru. So Janaka was at one point in time repeatedly appealing to his master to grant him an insight into his past life. But Yajnavalka refused to accede to Janaka's request by warning him that such knowledge would actually seriously disrupt his mental peace. But Janaka was very insistent and knowing what he was in his earlier life. So finally, Yajnavalka could not resist any longer. And, you know, someone who is endowed with divine vision, he said, O king, the lady who is your wife now was your own mother in your former life. And that day Janaka became an ascetic. Swami said, when such a spiritual giant like King Janaka could not stand the jolt of the peep into his earlier life, what do you think of its impact on an ordinary man? So this was a profound lesson that Raman Rao sir heard from Bhagwan, and Raman Rao sir was so moved with what he was learning at Bhagwan's feet. You know, he said he came there. He says, I don't know whether Swami is God or not, because I have never seen God. I don't know who is God to compare and say that, yes, Sai Baba also is God. But he said, here is a man, you know, who has such profound knowledge, who is only rendering service to mankind, who is moving among us, who is uplifting us. And I don't know, I have not seen Brahma, I have not seen Vishnu. Yeah, he does not have a bull or an eagle or a mouse as his vehicle. He does not have four hands, three eyes. But here is a man who is going out of his way to help people, who is going out of his way and filling people's heart with love, putting them on the right direction. He's good, he's great, he's generous. So all these feelings filled Raman Rao sir with so much of light and delight that, you know, he said, I have to discover this person. And he started coming to Puttaparthi again and again. He said, I have to study this miracle man. So that is how Raman Rao sir started getting interested in Bhagwan. So this is what happened in the first trip, the first major encounter with Bhagwan. And after that, you know, his life took a completely different turn. As you know, he became the, till his end, till he was above 90, he was here as the National Service Coordinator. He was the editor of the Sanatan Sarthi. So a lot more fantastic stories in the pipeline in his life, and very, very powerful lessons to learn from his life. So all that's coming up in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. As we celebrate Guru Purnima, you know, let's pray to Bhagwan that, you know, he fills us with this knowledge so that, you know, we don't try to understand him, but we only experience him, and we fill ourselves with love. We fill ourselves with that dispassion. We fill ourselves with that detachment so that we can get attached only to him and be in the bliss of his love. Thank you so much. Sairam.
నిరుపమ గుణ సదనా చరణా నీరజ దళ నయనా నిరుపమ గుణ సదనా చరణా నీరజ దళ నయనా Yeah. Shabbat shalom.